Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show.
A new transport project is looking at a range of options around the removal of all existing road tolls or even the introduction of charging motors for using roads throughout the national road network. Project Bruce, what a great name, which is actually stands for Better Road User Charging Evaluation, which is being led by the Transport Infrastructure Ireland, has four options on the table as part of its work for the future of the country's road network. And according to the internal presentation, these are removal of tolls on all roads subject to public-private partnership, maintaining the toll system as is, pricing all motorways and connected dual carriageways, and pricing the entire national road network. Essentially what they're saying is, let's put it on car tax and other taxes rather than charging people at the tolls. Now, the presentation to the TAI board last year said it would be looking closely at successful existing schemes for tolling and congestion charges in Singapore, Hong Kong, Norway, London, all of which, can I point out, have a very good public transport system. It said the objectives of the Project Bruce were encouraging transport decarbonisation and securing the national road network as a financial, resilient and well-maintained economic asset. And the project also aims to deliver reliable, enhanced rural and regional connectivity to drive economic growth, but without any major expansion of the national road network. Seems like a lot of words to me, but however. Proposals to tax all motors and abolish road tolls have been described as anti-rural, by the way. And charging for the use of the entire road network is being considered by the Transport Infrastructure Ireland. But if approved, this would remove all the existing toll charges on the road and would see all motorists being charged for using the national road network as a whole. In other words, increasing your car tax or your motor tax. Now, the independent TD for Kerry, Michael Healy-Ray, says drivers are already paying too much tax and this penalises rural drivers. And he joins me now to talk a little bit more about it. And I also want to speak to Donald Cooney, who's a Green Party councillor. Good evening or good afternoon to you both. Let me go to Michael Healy-Ray first if I can. Michael, you know, something I suppose has to be done according to this Project Bruce, and they believe this is a better option to charge for the road network, that thereby we can maintain it better and everybody pays a little bit, I suppose.
Well, you see, sometimes people have to justify their position by saying, well, we have to do something. Well, I'd actually disagree. No, we don't have to do anything, because the motorists of Ireland at present are screwed and penalised and demonised and haunted enough. You take 10 euros worth of diesel or petrol, over 7 euros is going on taxes between excise duties, VAT, and all of that. When they buy a vehicle, the amount of BRT, VAT, and other taxes that is on that vehicle is pricing. When they're buying their tyres, paying their road tax, paying their insurance, people are really paying enough. And you can only squeeze people so much. And I really think it's about time that people said stop. We have to mobilise. For example, we have to move. We can't all have work at home. We can't all have work outside our door. In an ideal world, it would be great if we did. We don't all have public transport. So we have to be able to move. And this, of course, is an anti-rural move. It will suit the Green
Party. But it will encourage some people to, you know, hop on their bicycle or use public transport where it's available to them. I understand the point that you're making, that not everybody has the option of public transport. But I suppose when you're bringing in legislation or you're bringing in public policy, it's a kind of blunt instrument, isn't it?
Well, if you're working, if you're living in Port McGee or Carrickfergus and you're working for Fexico, who's a very good employer in Culloden, and if you were told in the morning at 6 or 7 o'clock, well, get up on your bicycle there and cycle away at Culloden, it wouldn't exactly work. And you know, if
you'd be tired by the time you get there, that's for sure.
You would. And what I would say to Transport Infrastructure Ireland, for example, if they started doing what they're supposed to be doing, and if they looked at, for instance, the condition of our roads at present, there's a section of the Ring of Kerry Road today between Carrickfergus and Waterville, which is absolutely in a disgraceful condition with potholes. If they were really interested in motorists, they'd be making sure that we have a proper road surface. And they wouldn't be talking about taxing and penalising us anymore, because I believe that people have had enough. Yes, the Green Party would like to put us all on bicycles. Yes, they would like to put us back to the 40s and the 50s. But I'm not going back to the 40s or the 50s for the Green Party or for anybody else. For
OK, well, hang on for a second. In relation to that, Donna Cooney is a Green Party councillor. Donna, you know, this may benefit people who are living in a city and paying a lot of tolls, and they might say, well, look, it's better for me to pay an extra €30 motor tax than pay €100 or €200 a year in tolls. But for a lot of people, you know, and including Michael Healy-Ray and many people from rural Ireland, they're saying this is anti-rural Ireland.
Well, there isn't actually any government decision on this, so I'm not sure exactly where it's coming from. But, I mean, in terms of measures to do with congestion charging and things, it's a range of measures we may need to look at, because particularly where there is, you know, road space is at a premium. You do have, you know, it doesn't suit anybody to have traffic jams coming into the city at commuter times. You know, so that doesn't suit any road users, being on a bicycle, walking, public transport, when you can't get the buses in. So, you know, congestion charges are probably a range of measures. I'm talking from a Dublin perspective, not a sort of a national perspective.
Well, we have to look at it from a national perspective. That, yes, otherwise it would be unfair on the people of Dublin, wouldn't
it? On a national perspective, I think we can, if you're looking at, I mean, and this is just my view, if you're looking at congestion charges or charging for a road usage, like car usage as opposed to car ownership, you know, so people who are, say, you know, leave their car at home and then decide to cycle or take the public transport, you know, there should be more of an incentive for that as opposed to saying, well, you're charging so much.
I mean, when you look at this suggestion,
it, you know, okay, what I mean?
But Donna, like, Donna, just for a second, when you look at this suggestion,
higher, but user is lower, you know.
Okay, when you look at the suggestion, which is from Transport Infrastructure Ireland, this is part of their proposals, right? And they talk about the congestion charge as well, and they say they're looking at places like Singapore, Hong Kong, Norway and London. I mean, it's very disingenuous to look at cities and capital cities around the world that have a massive public transport system and a wonderful public transport system in most of those places that I just mentioned, and compare that to Dublin, Cork, Limerick or Galway, because we don't have those public transport systems. There are people, for example, in Dublin who live on one side of the city, have to work on the other, and they go in their car, it takes them 20 minutes. If they were to use public transport, it'd take them 2.5-3 hours because they'd get 2-3 different buses, even with the bus connect. So the idea that you're not giving people an option, it's almost like the policies that are coming in are not incentivizing, but they're punishing people.
Well, I don't think you can get across the city. If you can get across the city in rush hours, you know, in a car in 20 minutes, you know, I don't know where you must have a, you know, a chitty chitty bang bang or something, because it's not, you know, it's not possible. And that's why a lot of people are actually taking to the bicycle, just for convenience and speed. But when we do have, I mean, the investment in public transport was not there before, you know, 2020. And it has been radically altered now. And we have a lot of new buses coming online, new DARTs, new public transport. And in rural areas now, the subsidised, you know, like subsidised taxis or whatever cars that people can hire are there now as well, which will allow people a social life and to get to here and there as well, so they can go out for a few drinks and get a subsidised, lift home.
Well, let's tackle what Michael Healy-Ray said, and I'll give him a chance to respond to everything you've said in a second. But he said that basically the Green Party are anti-rural Ireland. They're anti-car. They want us all on bicycles, and they want to take us back to the 1940s and 50s. How would you respond to that?
They want us all on bicycles, but we do think that it's a really good option to reduce, and more and more people are actually choosing that option, because if they have a segregated safe cycling beside them, they're using that option. It's happening in Paris, it's happening in London, it's happening around the world. And it's not about bringing people back, because, you know, now people can use e-bikes, which means that it can bring them longer distances. You know, there's all sorts of adapted bikes, you know, and cargo bikes, so people can bring the family and the kids and get the shopping. And it's about a range of measures. Not everybody's going to be able to cycle, but you want to give people that choice.
But are you really giving that people that choice when you tax them for not doing it? Because that seems to be the plan going forward constantly all the time, that unless you're willing to, I suppose, adhere to the new policies that the Green Party have suggested, or that the Green Party would support, well, then you would be punished otherwise with taxes. Because that seems to be what's happening, isn't it?
Well, no, it would actually be that unless you do that, you'd be punished with taxes.
People, well, that seems to be the way, isn't it?
taxes, and that's not about their road use. They're paying taxes to do with their the level.
No, we've seen environmental taxes go onto diesel and petrol. You know,
yeah, they're environmental taxes, and that's necessary. We, you know, we have climate change, we have issues with around air pollution, asthma. There's all a range of issues, you know, that we have around that. So, I mean, it's necessary that we do that. Transport is our, you know, really, really big emitter of CO2, and we have a climate plan now in law, and we must follow that.
Okay, let me look back to Michael
of our
on that.
To think of, okay. And even our own future.
Okay, let me just go back to Michael Healy. Michael, get with the program. Essentially, you know, I mean, the Green Party have suggested in the past that they want to remove 20%. Well, Eamon Ryan said 20% of vehicles off the road by 2030. You need to get with the program. We need to think of the planet, and all of these measures are all part of doing that and getting with that policy, that climate policy. Are you not with the program, Michael?
Well, I'll take a very short length of time to answer this. Maybe 60 seconds or maybe less. First of all, in the county that I represent, I don't have the loops. I don't have any type of transport like that. That's number one.
But you can buy a bicycle.
Well, no. Okay, I'll take to
just
my bicycle.
Just for cycling around the town I'm talking about.
Okay, I'll take to my bicycle. So, and the first thing I'll do is I'll add to the hospital waiting list because I'll be suffering from pleurisy or pneumonia in a very short length of time. That's the second answer to that. Now, the other
question... There's a man on my road, Jackie. Oh, God, I'm off. Took up cycling when he was 80. Go ahead. I don't think you'll get pleurisy. Come on, you know. You're made of hardier stuff from that in Kerry, I'm sure, you know.
Well, we're finished now. You can let me at it.
Go on, Michael. Go on.
Okay. Right, I want to give you an example of what the Green Party do. In Tralee Town, during the very cold spell of weather, they came out with these announcements. Whatever you do, please do not light cosy fires because you're damaging the environment around Tralee. Now, they were basing that on readings or recordings that they were getting that we had a problem in Tralee with smog and with all of this. Now, there was only one thing, and it took a little bit of detective work by me to find out. The monitoring station, in other words, where the Green Party were getting their information from, was a unit, and guess where it was located? Right next to where the emissions from a wood-burning stove were coming out, which was owned by guess who? Our local authority. So they were basing the information that they were getting and saying that we had a problem in Tralee, which we actually didn't have, on false readings because of where this apparatus was located.
Yeah, Michael, I'm not suggesting I agree with everything from the Green Party, but is the aim not to have cleaner air?
Because if you're cycling around in the smog, isn't it?
Michael, is the aim not to have... I mean, look, I'm with you to some extent, you know, and I understand the point that Don is making too. But what I'm saying is, but is the aim for everybody, whether you're into climate change or you're not into climate change or whether you believe this or believe that, I mean, the aim is, I suppose, to have cleaner air to some degree. I mean, every year 1,500 people die in this country because of unclean air in general. Now, you know, we could continue doing that for the next 20,000 years if you want to. That's grand, sure. It'll probably just get worse anyway. So, but is the aim not just to make it a little bit better for everybody? And if we can all do a little bit, you don't have to believe in stuff, but if we all do a little bit, I suppose that includes certain charges that might discourage us from doing the wrong thing, so be it. Now, I'm not necessarily saying I agree with getting rid of peat and all those other things, but because people need it if they don't have money to heat their homes. But is the aim not just to make it a little bit of a better place to live in?
But I would be all for that. But why don't we do real things? Why don't we do real meaningful things? For instance, why don't we come out and say, yes, there should be no more plastic containers holding milk? Why don't we go back to when people had bottles?
I wouldn't disagree with that.
Yes, like, why don't we have the Green Party coming out with sensible suggestions like that?
Well, but we did campaign against getting rid of the glass bottles. You know, we weren't in government and we weren't in power at the time. There's no glass bottle factory anymore, so we're not producing glass bottles to put the milk in. So, we can't, you know what I mean? That's about undoing that. Had we been in government at the time, it possibly wouldn't have happened. But we are bringing in the circular economy. We're getting rid of single-use plastic. That's happening at a European level. You know, people are going now with the deposit scheme. So there are a whole range of measures that are being done that, you know, is really forwarding that agenda, because we are in a climate crisis, you know, whether you like it or not, and we can make a better world
in the future. You know, it doesn't need to be, as you say, it doesn't need to be gone back.
If I can't say
anything. Okay, go on, Michael. Get a word in. Go on. No, go on.
Okay.
I want to be fair to you.
I just want to make this point. This lady is coming from a discredited group, and I'll tell you why. These are the same group of people who told us we should stop producing peat briquettes in Ireland, and they did. So what are we doing now? We're selling every bit as many peat briquettes, but guess what? They're being imported from Germany.
I couldn't agree with you more. It doesn't make any sense.
It was born in the
moment. No, hang on, Donna. Let him finish what he wants to say, because a lot of people are talking about this very much at the moment. I know we're going off the topic a little bit, but...
This is the same party who forgot about 17,000 people full-time and 10,000 people part-time who work in our great horticultural industry. We had excellent peat to help us with that horticultural industry, which was used for all the different tomatoes and all the different vegetables and all the different plants that we need. And what did they do? Stopped us producing our excellent product, but we are still using the exact same amount of peat, but we're importing that from Lafayette. Now, could this lady please explain to me how those failed, foolish, nonsensical policies make sense? There was no joined-up thinking, and it's the same thing now with wanting to toll our roads. Once I hear it being suggested, and once I hear the Green Party saying, oh yes, that's a great idea, right away, my alarm bells go off, and I think to myself, oh my God, if the Greens are supported, obviously they haven't thought it through because they haven't given it proper care and consideration.
Okay. And Donna, just to wrap this up, because I have to wrap it up a second, but in relation to all of these plans from Infrastructure Ireland and Project Bruce and the Green Party, and we talked about the peas, we've talked about everything. Let me just finish the question. A lot of these plans really don't take everybody into consideration. They seem to be extreme blunt instrument plans. It doesn't take into consideration, for example, people who have to heat their homes. It doesn't take into consideration people who are selling turf or peat, which would happen last year, of course. There's a very suggestion that you might put somebody in jail for taking something out of the ground and burning it. Seems bonkers. And Michael makes a really good suggestion. Sure, we're importing it and selling it anyway. So
there's a lot of misinformation with an agenda that is to try and sort of somehow, you know, go along with some sort of populist view that the Greens are, you know, are doing all these things. In fact, it's not. We know we have a very holistic way of doing this, and it's really, you know, is a plan. It was Bord na Mona who decided to stop, producing peat and briquettes. There's a huge amount of money that we've got from Europe now for all that area for a just transition to move for employment for those areas, for people to start up enterprises. The people are not being forgotten about. And these, boglands are being re-wetted and, you know, rewilded and put back to nature, which will be beautiful places and lovely for ecotourism and for areas, you know, that you know, we have what we have with in our bogs is unique around the world. They're also carbon sinks, so we put back and we wet them, they become carbon sinks. So instead of doing the opposite, and as for, you know, there are alternatives to peat in terms of horticulture, that there isn't actually any need for that.
But we're still importing it.
Thrown out. And nobody was going to be arrested either for burning turf. You know, your granny, it was very clear your granny was not going to be arrested for burning turf, but people still kept coming out with that rhetoric, which is just a load of nonsense.
But you're missing the main point that he made, that people are still burning it, people are buying it now, and we're importing it. Meanwhile, Irish farmers are exporting it. It doesn't make any sense.
They don't need to use peat. They can use other alternatives.
I'm not asking you that. I'm saying people have chosen. Many people around the country, particularly during the energy crisis, have basically decided to continue burning the peat. And what they're doing is they're buying imported peat from another country while Irish farmers and Irish growers are basically exporting it. That doesn't make sense.
Oh, you're mixing up the peat for the mushroom growing for the horticulture with the people burning. It was that you couldn't sell peat that was extracted for burning in your local shops and your garages and things like that. And I know the Healy Rays have those businesses that sell those, but you can't sell those, anymore. But you could, you know, give some to your neighbour. You could use your own.
And the German people can burn Irish peat if they want to.
No, so, we're not exporting peat anymore. We're not exporting peat, and the board of Nymola were the people who decided no longer to extract peat. So it was a good thing, a good policy, and the just transition will mean that people will actually have, you know, good livelihoods in these communities.
Okay, final word, Michael, just before you go, I'd like to give you the final word, and I hope you don't get pleurisy on a bicycle. But final word, okay. Michael, go on, before you go.
The Green Party, if we'll follow them, we'll follow ourselves into the abyss, because we all will finish up with pleurisy and pneumonia. Because I have no intention of telling a person below 1 million children, get up on your bicycle and go away to work. We have very little employment in places like that. People have to move to get to work. I don't see the tram or the Lewis coming to South Kerry in the near future, or to North Kerry, or Middle. Mother of God, could anybody ever tell you when you're going on the radio, maybe when somebody else is talking, that you might give yourself a small rest and take a breath, and leave somebody else get a little more dinner if it's all right.
Yeah, Michael, finish what you were going to say.
I'll finish, and you know what you can do? Let her talk away there for the next half hour and promote her failed policies. We know what the Greens have done to us. We know what they want to do with us. But I'm not going to lie down for the Green Party or anybody else that wants to penalise and scrupulise us more than what we already are. People only want to get on with living. And we have to think about today as well. And remember, the best custodians of the environment are the people who own it. In other words, our farmers. Because I never seen anybody take a farm into the grave with them. They want to nurture it, and they want to make it better.
And they have to go out for future generations. They have to go out on the Island, but they don't get tourism when they're standing in the fields looking after their farm, do they?
Well, on that note, I hope nobody gets pleurisy, by the way. Michael Healy, I appreciate you coming on the air as usual. Thank you very much indeed. And Donna Cooney from the Green Party Councillor, thank you very much indeed for joining us. We didn't really get to the bottom of exactly what we wanted to talk about. We went off on a few tangents there, but anyway, I thought it was interesting. Poor old Michael Healy Ray. I hope he doesn't get pleurisy if he decides to cycle a bike. Anyway, I'm asking you, would you agree? You've heard what Donna Cooney said in relation to policies in general. And this particular policy, by the way, is a suggestion from Project Bruce, and it's from Infrastructure Ireland. And I suppose the suggestion is that we get rid of the tolls and we put it onto motor tax. Or that we have a charge for using the road network as a whole rather than paying a toll. I want to know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Would you be in favour of that? All right, let me go to Greg. Greg, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Greg?
How are you doing?
Good. You didn't even hear the conversation before the break between Michael Healy-Ray and Donna Cooney from the Green Party. We didn't really get much information from it, but it was entertaining, apart from anything else. Greg, the idea of, I suppose, you know, charging everybody for road usage. Look, we already have that idea. It's called motor tax. But they want to increase that to get rid of tolls. Is that a good idea?
Well, I was saying earlier, what you should do is do away with road tax altogether, put it on petrol. Then if you're people who drive just a little bit, like the lady who goes down to the shopping once a week, pays a little bit of petrol. If you're people who come from the north, or people who drive foreign cars, all pay for the road to use the road if you put it on petrol.
That was a suggestion going back about 15 years ago, if I remember rightly, by one of the political parties here. And I know it had been done in other countries. I think they do it in Australia and places like that. But here's the problem that you're going to have. It may penalise people too, because you take me, for example. I spend €650 on diesel a week because I come a long way to work. So really, what will happen then is I will get penalised just because I work further away, I live further away from my job.
But if you drive an economical car or get a hybrid, then you'll be saving.
Mm.
Which is what the Green Party want, which is, so everyone who's bought a hybrid, like me, they're going to put the road tax up for, you know, I suppose it's a hard thing. I know, but I'm sitting here now, and I can see out of the 20 cars, I was just counting, 11 of them have got yellow registrations.
Yeah.
They're not paying any road tax, and like more than half the cars here. And also there's...
Well, you could equally argue if you go up to Newry, you know, there are many cars up there that would have Irish registrations. So, and they're not paying road tax for using British roads. So that's, I don't think that's an argument.
Yeah, well, no, but if those cars that are down here, there's a lot of cars coming from north every day.
Yeah, there are people who are doing business, yeah.
Well, not just the business, there's a lot of people living here that drive yellow reg and get away with it. I'm just saying that they would pay towards the roads that they're using. The same as if you go up to the north and you drive, you pay for the petrol up there, you're paying towards their road costs. You've got VRT, you know, you've got the taxes. It's expensive enough here at the moment.
But the problem, I think the main problem you're going to see with your plan, and you know what, it wouldn't have been too far away from you in that line of thinking going back 15, 20 years ago when petrol wasn't as expensive or diesel as it is now. But with the cost currently of diesel somewhere between 1.70 and 2 euro floating constantly all the time, I mean, to put an extra cost on it, and it would have to be substantial. I think 15 years ago, they worked it out to get the same amount of money on motor tax out of diesel and petrol. It would be something like 18 cents on the litre. Now, that's a substantial rise from what we've already got. I mean, that could be very, that could break the bank for somebody. I mean, if you're living in rural Ireland, for example, and make, you know, I mean, I think that would be really unfair. And if you live in a city, it's easy enough because you're not going too far. But if you live in rural Ireland, that would be quite hefty. Would it not? Sorry, Greg.
Was that not supposed to be cancelled after it paid for itself?
What do you mean?
Well, the cost of it, you know, I know it's all done by toll, that the bridge there on the M50, that apparently once it had paid for itself,
yeah,
they were going to do away with the toll, and now it's breaking it in there.
Oh, I know. It's owned by the NRA. But, and the same with the toll here, at, you know, on the Eastlink toll as well. So when that was,
or if you're going to Galway or anything like that.
Yeah, yeah. They should once they have redeemed the money that it costs to build the road or whatever the bridge or whatever it happens to be, it should be handed back to the state again. That was the whole principle behind all that, but it never happened because they're making too much money.
But there's a little bit, they took that congestion charge. You're going to tax people. Some people need their car for work.
Mm.
If you're a business or you know, driving a van or whatever, using your tools, or some more people. So, I mean, they're just going to... You can't tax your way out of recession or tax your way out of...
Yeah, but what you're suggesting, put it on petrol. That's another tax, isn't it, essentially?
Well, but if you've done away with the road tax and, low, you know, sort of cut the bit on petrol, sort of took it off petrol,
yeah,
that people who use the roads that are not registered... No one could
so
avoid...
The more you use the roads, the more you pay, in other words, essentially.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But then no one could avoid it. People
can't
avoid pain.
Everybody's okay. Well, hang on. Let me go to Pat as well. Pat, you're on Ireland's Classics Radio. Pat, this suggestion was used many, many years ago. It's not a bad idea, Greg has, but there are problems with it. I mean, you know, people who are professionals would have to be able to claim it back in tax and stuff like that. But, you know, adding the money to the petrol or diesel rather than, you know, charging everybody for usage of the roads.
I think they do that in some countries anyway.
Australia, you know? I think they do it.
No, I'd like to just make a point there, you know, about all of this whole thing, that looking to put in, it's basically what it is, it's just an added tax to us, the drivers, right?
Mm.
You know, the Greens, I call the Greens the Khmer gloss, right? Rather than the Khmer Rouge, the gloss is in green.
Yeah.
They want us back to the year bloody zero. That seems to be the whole thing, right? You have that clown, right, the leader of the Green Party, circling into work with the bloody ministerial car behind him. Now, give me a break, will you?
I don't know whether he has the car behind him all the time, Pat.
He does. He has to have security reasons, right? Now, if they were serious about this, if this was a whole thing to do with, you know, cutting down on emissions and all the rest, and like, getting people out of cars, the first thing they would have done was that they'd make public transport free. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, no, sorry, I'll tell a lie. Second would have been that.
By the way, but loads of people are texting in saying, do I repay £6.50 a week? I meant the month. I clearly don't pay per week, sorry. Go ahead, sorry.
First of all, let's put a decent public transport system in that works. I'm driving a taxi. And the amount of times during the week that I've had people, picking people up, right, that are waiting for a bus, trying to get into work, and it just doesn't turn up.
Mm.
Right? And look, your woman, I don't know who she was there at the Green.
Donna Cooney.
Donna Cooney, right? Jeez.
Clontarf, yeah, Clontarf.
She made a point there about, what was it about, people, how they get across the city in rush hour, right, in an hour, you know, in less than an hour, 20 minutes or whatever. Everyone doesn't go across the city in rush hour.
Yeah, no, I think that was the point I was making to her.
Yeah, there's no, everyone doesn't use traffic just in rush hour. And I can tell you now, people who have to get 2 and 3 buses. I personally, when I was driving trucks, I was walking out of the park. I'd be in work at 5 in the morning, and getting from Swords into there was impossible.
Yep.
I had to have a car. So why would I be penalised for having to have something? I couldn't cycle in and out the Swords. You know what I mean? You go in and you're doing a 10.
Well, they have the Swords Express now, haven't they?
They have, but that wasn't there at 5 o'clock in the morning. It's still not.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And anyway, it doesn't go down to the port.
Well, it stops off at the Three Arena, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Then you're going down to the port itself, like down the end, and you know, this, I think there's a bus goes down there every 2 weeks or something. I don't know.
Every two weeks. No, I get it. And by the way, you're 100% right. There are people across this country, across the city, who need to use their cars because public transport is just not an option for them. I know that.
Well, I'll make a point too as well. There are other people using these electric bikes and electric scooters and all the rest.
Oh, but they'd be hard
to
be
made. They haven't legislated for them. Why haven't they legislated for them? They're on the road illegally. They haven't given, they can't, these people, anyone out there on an electric scooter or whatever, an electric bike, it's a motorised vehicle, they shouldn't be on the road without tax, without insurance, without having a licence.
Couldn't agree with you more.
They don't know the bloody rules of the road.
The law, unfortunately, the law around scooters and electric bikes is kind of on hold at the moment, so nobody's actually being arrested for it.
But they're on the road.
I know, but judges are in, there's a bit of a grey area now in relation to that since the Minister for Transport suggested that the legislation was going to be changed and two test cases were brought before the court and the judge would make a decision on it because he couldn't because the Minister of Transport had already said they're not a motorised vehicle. So anyway, getting back to what we were talking about, okay, well, hang on. Firstly, let's see what Greg's suggestion.
The road tolls, no, just a quick one.
Yeah.
The road tolls. The companies around these that we're paying the tolls to.
The NRA.
They do not contribute. No. There's a company there that owns, say, the likes of the M50 there, the toll on the M50 and the rest of them. They do not contribute anything towards repairs on the roads. We pay for that. And these people have to be earning X amount a year or the government subsidises them. Now, where would you be going with that? We paid for these roads to be built, most of it. And yet these people, we have to pay them to make money.
Well, who you're paying is, and this is who the report today is by Transport Infrastructure Ireland, who, by the way, were formerly known as the National Road Authority, the NRA. And they're the ones who look after these roads or who take the charge on these particular tolls. I know you pay it through eFlow or wherever it is.
Taxpayers' money. Going to private companies.
It was taxpayers' money that was used to build all these roads. Yep.
Yes.
Well, the money came from the EU, didn't it, most of it?
These companies took over, taking the tolls. They're not paying anything towards the maintenance of the roads.
Well, they are. The NRA have to maintain the roads on the money they receive.
They do not own the tolls.
It's the National Transport
Authority. They do not own.
It's Transport Infrastructure Ireland, who was formerly the NRA. Same company.
No, the companies that actually own the tolls, the toll companies. Mm-hmm. You find that the company that owns now we own the EastLink, okay? But we don't own the M50. And there's a Spanish company, I think, that owns the other ones going down, the looks down the M3 and all the rest of them heading down the road.
Transport Infrastructure Ireland. Now, the toll income from the M50 goes to Transport Infrastructure Ireland, formerly the NRA. And in its annual report, I think, from last year, I think they recorded profits or total income of somewhere, don't quote me, between 150 and 200 million, right?
You are the government paying a subsidy to them.
Sorry?
Is that the NRA not an Irish entity?
Well, it is. Well, it's again, I want to point out the NRA is gone. They're now called Transport Infrastructure Ireland. Same organisation. Yes.
But then why are the Irish government, with taxpayers' money, subsidising them? They had to do it during the COVID because there wasn't as many people using the roads, obviously. And they didn't make the projected profits they normally make. So the government had to
step in.
Profit. Yeah. Right. So who are they? If that's yours, if we own it, then why are we subsidising it?
Okay, in relation to the EastLink Bridge as well, that was meant to be given back to the Irish people, it never was. The council owns that. Yeah, I know. But it was supposed to be free after 10 years. Never happened. Yeah. Okay, but let's just deal with the situation we have at the moment. They're trying to make it a better place by suggesting that everybody pays a small. In other words, some people use tolls more than others, so they pay a bigger slice of the pie. They're trying to make it equal, so as everybody pays the same amount. Is that fair?
What about the poor people who don't go out on the main road?
I know.
People who will never see a motorway.
There are people in this country who've never used a toll in their life. I get
exactly.
that.
I probably never will. And why can't I lose them?
All right, okay, fair point. Okay, keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number's 087-188-0008. Just going back to the confusion that Robbie mentioned, of course, the EastLink Bridge. Now, the EastLink Bridge, I think, is one of the only ones that's now in full public ownership. But all the income, of course, goes to Dublin City Council. All the other roads, including the M50, and just to give you the exact figure on that, by the way, it was 157 million in 2021, by the end of 2021, that's what they made. on all the tolls across the country. And out of that 157 million, 140 million of it actually came from the M50. So the M50 is clearly the busiest toll across the country. The M50 toll, by the way, is operated by Concession Limited. Now, remember, these are public-private partnerships, so they're still owned by the state, but they're run by private companies to make a profit. Eurolink own the M3. Celtic Roads Group own the one there in Dundalk. I'm looking at some of the other ones here. The one, the Portlaoise Bypass is Celtic Group again. The N25 Waterford Bypass is the Celtic Roads Group again. When we see Direct Route, they own the one, the M7 and the M8 in Limerick and Fermoy. Then you've got Concession, who own the M50, own the one in Ballinasloe. And Direct Route own the one in Gort in Tuam as well. Eurolink, by the way, own the one, the M4 and the M6 tolls. Right, so they're all operated and run and maintained by private companies who make quite a substantial amount of money, let's be clear about that, and employ probably a substantial amount of people too. But they are, of course, the money, any profits that are made after the private company make their money goes back to the state as well. Let me go to Robbie. Robbie, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids Radio. How are you doing, Robbie?
Yeah, you know, I thought you were driving the Batmobile when you said 650
a week. I know. A month. I meant a month. Jesus. A few people text in and said 650 a week. What's he driving?
I know. But I remember when the original M50 toll bridge came in, when it was Dublin Corporation and Redmond's was the Dublin City Manager at the time, and it was only supposed to be a temporary...
10 years or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. To pay for the M50 was the reason behind it in the first place.
Well, it was called the West Link in those days.
The West Link. I think Dublin City Council only owned the one down in Ringdale. That's the only one
they own. I'm looking here, yeah. That's the only one that's actually in full public ownership.
Yeah. Well, it's getting back to like what you were saying about the transport, and like that policy that you were talking about has, it actually reeks of green policy, you know, tax every driver to the hill to try to get them off the road. Well, there's one thing myself and my wife always notice when we go away to other European countries, and I was saying this in the roots as well, was that, like, I mean, the infrastructure is embarrassing when we go away. The transport infrastructure, I should say, is embarrassing when we go away, how good it is compared to what we have here. Now, like, you remember back as well as I do, Niall, they have been talking about doing the metro, or whatever the hell they call it originally, and since I was Roots age, as I said, we're again.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we're great at talking about things, but actually getting around and doing something, now that's a different story altogether.
But the metro plan has changed about 20 times.
And the rest.
By the way, I'm not too sure how true this is, but somebody told me when they built that hotel in Ballymun, it was the Hilton Hotel or whatever it is in Ballymun, that in the basement, there's actually a metro station, because the plan in the future was to have a train or a metro that would run underground as far as that hotel. So they actually have, the station is actually in the basement. It was built there at the time.
Jesus.
That was 20 years ago.
They built the two train stations around the corner from me, and which is going to be now Clon Borders, which is in the news because it's a 9,000 housing unit that's going to be built on it. But they built that around 2007, and one of the train stations is sitting there idle since.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been a person in the car park using it. Like, it's just mind-boggling, like, the stuff that they do. Now, hopefully it'll be put into use when they build Clon Borders. But the thing is that if the Greens in the government are going to want to tax people and tax people and tax people, people need to see some comeback on top of that as well. You know, because, again, we harp back to it, and where we're always harping back to it is because everybody's saying it, Noel, is that our transport infrastructure is crap. You know, and when we look at it, and we really do look at it, the amount of money that we put into these things in the country, we're really not getting value for money for anything, you know?
I mean, I don't know, Robbie, because I don't use public transport, but what's the general consensus, say, of Dublin Bus? I've heard people say they're looking at the app, the bus will be here in 3 minutes, and then it vanishes off the app and the bus disappears. So what's the general consensus? Is it a good system? I mean, is it reliable? If you're using it for work every day, can you rely on getting to work on time in a bus?
Well, I can only go by what my daughters tell me. We have quite a decent bus routes up around Lucan, you know, and originally when I was younger I was in Crumlin, and every bus in Ireland went through Crumlin down by Our Lady's Hospital, you know. But the girls say that the buses seem to be fairly regular, you know, but the problem is that they do be jammers because they go from, say, town to Liffey Valley and then in through Lucan and then up to Adamstown. And if you don't get them at a certain time, you're knackered. You have to wait for maybe two or three buses after that.
Right,
but
okay.
Still, though, it's a reliability on the buses. And it's the same thing when you come out of Dublin Airport. If you don't get a taxi, you're knackered till you get a taxi, you know. And that's something that we need to look at because...
No, Dublin Airport is a joke, by the way. The very fact that we don't have a proper public transport system out of a national airport into a city is unbelievable. But mind you, the taxi drivers wouldn't be too pleased about that if there was one.
No, the taxi drivers are great and they're doing their job. I don't think the taxi drivers
would be too pleased if we ran a metro, for example, or some underground train from Dublin Airport into the city. The taxi drivers wouldn't be happy with that, would they?
We don't know. But, like, I mean, the taxi drivers are the ones who are getting all the flack because they're not given the service, but they're given a service, and people say that you can't get out of the airport.
Well, back to the main question, because I'm running out of time here, and I'm going to go to Jared very quickly. Do you think we should get rid of the tolls and put a national charge on everybody on their motor tax?
No, I think we should get rid of the tolls anyway. And I think the government should do what they're supposed to do, put proper infrastructure into the country that we need, because they're not doing it.
Okay, stay there for a second. Let me go to Jerry as well. Jerry, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Jerry?
How are you doing?
Good, Jerry. You've listened to all the sorts of opinions here today in relation to what we should and shouldn't be doing, but what should we be doing?
I haven't. I'm rather missing a few of them. But I personally think, though, what's going on here is very insidious. Like, there's something sneaky behind it. As Robbie said there, Greens are trying to get us off the road and out of cars.
Well, there's no doubt about that. They've admitted that.
I think it's also going to be limiting where you can go. Just personally, that's my future down the road. Like, you know,
what do you mean limits on where you can go?
You won't be allowed into certain areas unless you pay X more amount of money.
That is the plan. Congestion charges. In other words, if you want to drive into Dublin, you'll have to pay a tenner maybe. Yeah. That's part of the plan.
Restricting where you're going, yeah. And I know this is a side one, but it's all unconstitutional.
How is it unconstitutional?
You have the right to travel, and they're restricting you travelling.
They're not stopping you from travelling. You can cycle, you can walk, you can run, but if you want to drive your car, they're charging a congestion charge.
Under the Constitution, you can fly if you want.
Under the Constitution. The Constitution gives you that gives you freedom and the right to move around the country, but it doesn't give you the right to drive a car.
I can't do it.
Yeah, a car is not mentioned in the Constitution.
Exactly.
No, but what I'm saying to you is the government do have the right to restrict where a car can go.
Well, you know, I am being a bit flippant here.
Yeah.
But I do think this is...
It's a bit pie in the sky, Jeremy, fairness. You know, the idea that you're suggesting to me that the government don't have the right to tax you on driving a car. They do.
Well, look, we've a whole different argument about that story. But
it's not an argument. There's no debate in that.
Of course there's a debate in that. There's a debate in everything. You know, as soon as you say there's no debate, you've lost the debate. Of course there's a debate. But anyway, what I'm saying is I do think this is about restriction of movement, and it is stopping people going where they don't want you to go. And I know that's a conspiracy theory line, but that's what I think.
I don't know where you're going. I don't know where you're at. Jerry, we can debate about whether people should be charged or whether, you know, taxes are fair or that's the right way to do things. But the very idea that you're telling me that the government or somehow there's some sort of conspiracy that the government don't want you to move around the city and, you know, that's...
Yeah. Well, they don't.
So you're telling me that there'll be a point in time where I won't even be allowed to walk into a city?
Well, there was a point last year when you couldn't do it.
I personally didn't agree with lockdowns, but that was during COVID. We're talking about in general. I think, Jerry, you're maybe reading a little bit too much stuff or something like that.
Maybe so. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying it's not...
You've no constitutional right to drive a car, by the way. You don't have a constitutional right to drive a car. You have a constitutional right to freedom and to move around the country as much as you want. And yes, there is arguments that during lockdowns that constitutional right has been taken away, that liberty is taken away from you. But in relation to driving a car, the government do have the right to tax you on driving that car.
Well,
they have the right to charge taxes. You might not agree with them.
The road tax is what we pay at the moment. That's what we should be paying. We shouldn't be paying toll and we shouldn't be paying additional. The road tax, leave it at that.
All right, thanks, Jared. Thanks. That was... Great input. The number is 087-188-0000. I've got to take a break. Robbie, thank you very much indeed as well. Loads of people, by the way, texting in. Now, I think it's a bonkers idea, the very idea that you would punish people by charging everybody the same amount of money because not everybody uses the road in the same way. I would agree with you to some extent. It's almost like the idea of putting it on petrol, I suppose, or diesel, as we mentioned earlier on. That would unduly penalise people who unfortunately live maybe in rural Ireland or parts of the country where they have to go a long way to get to work. So it's all very, very difficult to kind of balance it out and have a fair system. But the bottom line is, things do have to be paid for. And you do have to have charges to some degree, unless you want to charge people 60% income tax or something like that, which will pay for everything.
Real people. Real opinions. Real Talk Radio, the multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic hit.